load my thing there. Thing. Thank you. If you hit that F5 button, I'm even happier. There we go. All right. He is fast. Well, I hope everybody had a good time at lunch. If you did not eat enough, I'm sorry. I don't know what to do for you. Don't know how to help you. But that's all right. We had a good meal, a good turnout, and Jim and Helen were properly honored, and we rejoice with them. This morning we were looking at joy, about how one's life can be filled with joy and peace and happiness. And we examined 5 tips for joy. The first being make up your mind to be happy. The second, locate the center of your life. And of course, meaning put Christ at the center. Ask yourself why you are living. You got to determine that for yourself so that you will know what you're doing. And then don't take yourself so seriously, because it's so easy to get confused into thinking that we're really something special and we are special to God. But we take ourselves too seriously. We're going to have our feelings hurt a lot. And then the last thing we talked about this morning, make the most of the time that you have left with the life that you've been given. So we move right on to number 6, and that is don't keep grudges. Let me tell you, folks, a grudge, that's one of the most difficult ghosts of all, is the ghost of grudge bearing. It's so hard to get rid of. This thing comes in and it stays put, and once you let a grudge come in and live with you and become part of you, it'll wrap itself around every nerve and every muscle and sinew, and it will just permeate your entire being. A grudge becomes the whole focus, the whole center of your existence. If you keep a grudge, if you try to keep score, if you try to figure out what was fair and what wasn't fair and who didn't treat you right, and you just try to keep a book. You know, I had a friend of mine one time, she said, I have an A list and a B list. The A list is for people that I like. And you don't ever want to get on my B list, because if you ever get on my B list, you don't ever get off. Well, folks, that's just no way to live. That's a terrible thing. Grudges do not follow the example that Jesus left us. He taught us that no Christian should ever try to injure another. And by the same token, he told us to forgive those that injure us. That we are not to bear a grudge. The spirit of revenge is certainly the spirit of Satan. In Proverbs 19:11, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Now that's some wisdom right there. You use discretion by being slow to anger, but it is to your honor, to your glory, that you overlook transgressions, that you don't allow what happens to you to ruin you and to corrupt your thinking. Grudges destroy. In Romans 12:17-21, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. By taking revenge, by keeping score, by holding a grudge against someone who has legitimately done you wrong, what you're doing, you may actually be able to get even with your enemy on some level. You may actually be able to get even. But what you're doing is you're causing your own wounds to keep bleeding. The wounds that you have that came because of your enemy, you are keeping those wounds open. You are causing those wounds to continue to bleed when you try to hold a grudge or seek revenge. You cannot have a heart that's filled with revenge and a heart that's filled with joy at the same time. It's impossible. So if you want a life of joy, you have to let grudges go. You have to put them away, forgive them, and move on. And then the next one, not really related to it, but somewhat close, and that is don't cry over spilt milk. You know, I have spilt milk in my day, and never once have I been able to get it back in the glass. I have tried. I have taken a paper towel, and I've gotten it up, and I've tried to squeeze it back in the glass. And you know what? I still don't want to drink that. But I didn't get it all back in the glass. You're not going to get it back. Once it's gone, it's gone. There's no reason to cry over it. There's an old proverb I found. I think you'll like this. Crying over spilt milk leaves a sour taste in your mouth. Well, that sounds pretty good. I'm thinking clabbered milk. Anybody ever drank any clabbered milk by mistake? You forgot to check it. It was in the refrigerator a little too long and you got hold of some of that. You don't forget that kind of thing. Well, if you cry over spilt milk, just think of in terms of leaving a sour taste in your mouth. Alfred Lord Tennyson made the following observation. What's the use to brood? You can ruin a perfectly good day today by worrying about yesterday. Well, that makes good sense. You can ruin a perfectly good day today by worrying about yesterday. The psalmist said it this way. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, Paul had the proper attitude about the mistakes of his past. In Philippians 3, verse 13, he says, I do not count myself to have accomplished, apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul could say, concerning his rejoicing in the Lord, it was because he had first learned to forgive himself, who he looked at himself as the chief of sinners. But Paul first learned to forgive himself and to move on past his past. Listen, he learned how to move on past his past. There's no need to cry over past mistakes or injustices. They are only going to hinder the return of joy in our heart. So, don't keep grudges and don't cry over spilt milk. You have to learn to let things go. And then number eight, almost done, believe it or not. Do something for someone else. I've got a friend of mine that is going through depression. Bad. Bad. He can't seem to shake it. His whole world is focused on his depression. And how miserable his life is. How sad everything is. He's one of the saddest people I've ever known. And I begged him to do something for someone else. Help someone else. Do something for somebody else. Take your mind off your troubles. Can't get him to even try. He will not do anything for anyone else. That is selfish suffering, is what that is. Selfish suffering. Do something for somebody, somewhere, while jogging along life's road. Help someone to carry his burden, and lighter will grow your load. Do something for somebody always, whatever may be their need. There's nothing on earth can help you so much as a kindly deed. The point of it is, we help one another. We help others. We help ourselves. The Bible says in Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We help each other with the loads that we have to carry, with the disappointments, the heartaches, the setbacks, the problems, the pressures, the trials, the sicknesses, the loss of possessions in storms, tornadoes, fires, or whatever. The loss of jobs, the loss of a loved one. We help each other. We do something for one another. And our lives take on new meaning. There is indeed joy. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's exactly what that's talking about. When I do something for someone else, I'm the one that's going to receive the biggest blessing. Romans 5:1-2, or I'm sorry, Romans 15, 1 and 2. We then that are strong ought to bear with the scruples or infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each one of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Never are we more like God than when we are helping someone else. When we are doing something for someone else, that's when we are the most like God. Because God doesn't do for himself. God does for others. And this is not to suggest you can't do things for yourself. That's not to suggest that at all. But God does for everyone else. Think about that. And then finally today, be hopeful by trusting in God. Life gets tough at times. When those storms came through a couple of weeks ago, a lot of people didn't have power. People lost all the food they had in their freezers. They lost property. They lost a lot of security. The fear was at a huge degree. People were scared and uncertain about their future. We need to trust God when times are hard. We need to trust God when we're not sure which way to go. Well, we need to trust God when we don't know what the answers are. But you know what? We need to trust God when we do know what the answers are. We need to trust God when we do know which way we're going to go. We need to trust God when things are working well. We are indeed hopeful when we trust in God. It is the tug of tomorrow that helps us through the struggles of today. And by the tug of tomorrow, I mean God holds the future in his hands. That would have been a good one to sing. He holds the future in his hands. He has our lives. He is in our past, our present, and our future. God is at the center of all things. And it is this hope, this trust, this expectation that causes mankind to believe that tomorrow will be better than today. And we have to hope for that. We have to believe that to be true. And this, of course, will cause us to push harder, to try longer, to become more than what we are. Shakespeare said, "The miserable hath no other medicine but hope." The miserable hath no other medicine but hope. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 6, 18 and 19, that hope is the anchor for the soul. We can never have hope in the future without trusting in the God of the present. If we trust in God today, we have hope for tomorrow. We have hope for the future. And that will cause us to have joy. If I've got something to look forward to, if I've got something that is real to me, heaven, eternal life, eternal reward, rest from my labors, I've got that to look forward to, I get excited. I used to enjoy, a good roller coaster. Okay? I don't fit on many of them right now. But I used to enjoy a good roller coaster. Man, at one time, well, Christina and I rode on the front car of the biggest roller coaster on planet Earth. And it was night. It was the Millennium Force at Cedar Point. Let me tell you, that was fun. And I was looking forward to that. And you know, but 2 or 3, 4 days before that trip, sleep started getting hard. I was so excited. I was so looking forward to that. There was a joy in anticipating going to that place and riding those roller coasters because that was a big deal for me back then. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. When we are excited about something that's going to happen, there's a new grandbaby coming. Or you know, you've got a big, big vacation or a big family gathering or some big, important event that you're so excited about and it's hard. It's hard to be able to sit still. And you wish time would go by faster. That's the kind of joy that we can have if we have hope in God. If we put our trust in God, we have indeed a hope for the future. And even when the storms of life come, we see Jesus standing on the right hand of God, right hand of the throne of God, and we know that He's in our corner. We know that He's pulling for us. We know that He wants us with Him. Your heart will be full of joy if it is also full of faith and trust in the God of heaven and earth. Joy is the feeling a person has who is right in his heart toward God. So, as we have said today, as we have examined the matter of how to have joy in our lives, we conclude with this tip. Put God first. Put God first. You make up your mind to be happy, and you put God first. You locate the center of your life, and that center is Christ. You're putting God first. You determine why you are living. You put God first. You don't take yourself so seriously. You put God first. You make the most of the time you have left on this earth by putting God first. You are the kind of person that does not hold grudges because you put God first. You don't cry over spilt milk because God comes first in your life. You do something for others because you put God first. And you're hopeful about your future by trusting in the God that you put first. And when you've made up your mind to do these, joy is going to overflow from your heart. You're going to be at peace, that peace that passes all understanding, and you're going to look forward to heaven as your eternal home. If you are not ready to go home, you need to get ready. God is coming. Our Lord is coming back to one day to take us home. Are you ready for that day? You're going to draw your last breath sooner than you think you are. Are you ready for that day? If you're not ready, you need to get ready. Live a life of joy now and live a life of eternal life with God in the hereafter. If there's a way we can help you to make things right with God, we encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.
Tenderly calling thee home.